My guy, my fault, man. My apologies.
No, it's all good. Welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate it, G. I want to be somewhere stationary and not in the whip, man, but I'm always on the move, bro.
It's all good.
But the service going to be fire, man. How's everything? How you doing, family?
Everything's going good, man. Congratulations on the new album. Your solo career is finally taking off, and people are recognizing it all around the world, especially in the music game right now, from artist to Hit-Boy, Wyclef. You have legends backing you right now, man. Congratulations. You got to feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, man. It's an amazing feeling. It's humbling, to say the least. I apologize. Doors shutting and stuff. Y'all got to bear with us. With the you know, the 2021 ghetto interview vibe right now.
But, oh, it's all good. Trust me, man.
But on the real, it's amazing, man. It's humbling experience and just inspiring, man. It just makes me want to continue cooking. You know what I mean? Just literally having some of my musical idols embracing my story and voice and just the things that I want to touch on in the world is just dope, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know, sometimes I just be lost for words. I just want to make more music.
I know an important track on the album is Amistad. How does that song just relate to you, and what do you look at that track now with everything going on in the world? It's been going on forever, but now that we have another incident with police brutality and another slaying of an innocent black man.
Yeah. You know, Amistad was created from a space of like exactly like what you said, just back then to from before I was born to when I was my childhood growing up and having to deal with it with my neighbors literally being racist and we were fighting my neighbors every other day. And just up until now, you know, but now the position I'm taking in it is more so not allowing it to emotionally control me like it has been before. You know, the media has a really, just does a really good job at being able to just shift our emotions whenever they want. And I can't allow them to constantly do that with the same shit. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So every time a black man is killed by a cop innocently, it doesn't make sense. And it's obviously not effective. And like all that, say his name and running around doing all that. It's just not, for me at least, I got to take a different approach. So me, I'm personally just finding different ways and methods to get more effective and create change. And it's really going to be just taking over this industry and being at the forefront of it and then making this the message. You know what I mean?
A bar that I loved on your song Amistad as well was the reference to Nas and Big L.
Hold on 1 second, bro. You sound a bit low. Okay. Oh, you said what?
A bar that I loved on Amistad was the reference to Big L and Nas. That was tough.
Yeah. Big L, no DeBarge, Big L and Escobar, probably mixed in a one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I fuck with that. Niggas start kind of wigging that on that verse, on that part of the joint. yeah, man, I appreciate that. I appreciate you even, you know, diving in and listening that much, you feel me? I just be paying homage to some of my favorites. And being from the West and being able to just shout out people like Big L and Nas and L DeBarge and... Yeah. Money Making Mitch, you know, shit like that. It's nostalgic to me.
Mm-hmm. Growing up on the West Coast, what did you love most about the East Coast MCs?
I really just liked rap. So I didn't, as a child, I didn't really even equate it so much as like East Coast, West Coast, and the sounds being so much different. I didn't even realize how much it was like a difference in sound. But I liked like Nas, I liked the Fugees, I liked Mobb Deep, I love Biggie's hits. You know, I can't sit here and be like I was just a Biggie stan. I love the Biggie hits, you know what I mean? The shit I heard. I never was
able to, Juicy.
Yeah, I was never fully able to really truly get into like Biggie albums, just because it's a lot of like talking about dying and you know, just for me. So, but Biggie was fire, and I love R&B, so I listened to a lot of R&B too in the East. But I liked artists from all over. Like my favorite rapper when I was a young kid was like Eminem. It was random.
Eminem's a great. He's one of the greats, of course. Exactly. What's your favorite Eminem album?
The Marshall Mathers LP.
Can't go wrong with that one.
that's my favorite Eminem album, and my favorite rap album is probably The Chronic 2001.
Great choice.
Yeah, it just got everything on there. And Eminem, so I really was winning.
Forgot about Dre.
I love Eminem. No, well, I love the early Eminem. I haven't listened for a while, but I think he's just still creating and doing his thing, which is dope. But I haven't listened for a minute, but I love the early Eminem for sure.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into the album title. Why did you choose Foes for your album?
Well, it's an acronym that stands for Free on Evan Street,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel like I found my freedom on Evan Street. That's the first place I ever recorded a song when I was 8 years old on tape. And it's the first place I ever recorded on CD when I was like 12 or 13. And so Evan's just was like a section and a point in time in my life that was very true to me and prominent. And I wanted to just hit on it and highlight it. And so that's what I was able to do. And I was, you know, and Foes, luckily, Free on Evan Street, you know, just ended up being Foes, which is like, you know, there's nothing, you know, I can honestly say that there's nothing that like ties in with like Foes, like I had for like, yeah. Nice, like that. But, yeah, no. It's just, it stands for Free on Evan Street. And luckily we're able to call it Foes. So it's dope. Mm-hmm.
On Evan Street, make sure everyone go check that out, download it on all platforms right now.
Yes,
and it's a great one. And I want to get into something that I find interesting about what you do with your raps. You can paint pictures, you can take me to a place of where you were going through in your childhood. I can just put myself in your shoes and understand and see your story as you're rapping. Did you keep a journal when you were younger and write things down as things were occurring in your life? Or this is all just from verbatim off the top of your head that you can remember, just certain stories that you speak great. About?
That's a great question. I actually didn't have a journal. I've never had a journal before.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy now I think about that. Like I've never had, I just, I realized once I was a teenager, I have like a little gift with it, with like remembering shit from when I was like two, you know, that like, I realized it because when being a teenager, you know, you start reminiscing with your cousins and they don't remember shit that I'm talking about when we were four, you know? So by the time I'm 30, I remember so much stuff. So many episodes, you know, and it just comes off the top. Thank God, like glory to God that, you know, I just be reliving them. And that's the cool thing about making music, because I think that's what makes every artist like an artist. And that's what makes every great artist a great artist, you know, is them having a definite story that like is true to them. And you're able to like, I could tell you anything about my favorite know their story, just open and able to just paint the picture of their story really well. So I've always just prided myself on that, and I definitely wanted to do it with my solo career very consciously. So I'm glad that it's translated.
It definitely is. And how are you loving the solo career? Because now you have full creative freedom. You don't have to work with another person besides you and accommodate what they may want to put in their messages as far as the music goes. How are you loving the solo career?
I love it, man. I've always been able to kind of like, that's the cool thing about being in a group of like, your bro for real. Like, we've always been able to at least find a common ground with the messages and find a common ground with like, just what we want to talk about. But being able to just tell my own story full on, it's just liberated, to say the least, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It just feels good. It's therapy. You know, it's a lot of shit I want to get off and talk about, you know, and or just even in interviews. Like, we got to kind of like combine stories. We got to kind of have one brain when we're in interviews and things like that. So I think it's dope. And I think he's going to enjoy it too once he starts like rolling out his stuff and, you know, doing more interviews. I'm sure he's going to love it and be able to say the same.
From reading articles online and what I've heard from your music, you have a very interesting life story. Would you ever consider creating a mini documentary, something that you would put out on your own? There's an example I can use. Dave East, when he put out his album Survival, he had a 5-part series where it was just basically his life story and what was going on in his music life.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm dropping a book series that I can't, you know, just... I don't want to say the title just yet. It's already been a series this month that is like highlighted around the album and just my life story and the story. And then eventually, obviously, the books will be turned into movies, miniseries, docuseries, TV shows, things of that nature. Just to like... immortalize some of my family members and just some of the dope people in my life whose stories never got to be told. And so that's definitely the plan. And I encourage everybody else to do the same, you know, to dive into the real roots and the real like mud of like their family, the good and the bad and the ugly. You know what I mean? And really, you know, be able to really learn more about yourself.
Bad Dreams. It made World Star, produced by Hit Boy. I want to hear about the first time that you met Hit Boy and what it's like working with a creative mind as such as him, because he's one of the hottest producers in the game right now, producing Nas's Grammy winning album, King's Disease.
Right. Yeah, that's cracking. Shout out to my bro, man. He went crazy. That's really my dog. I really like slept on his mom's floor and shit. Like,
wow.
That nigga didn't have my mom's crib. Like, that's really my brother. You know what I'm saying? As far as like, we really, like, I've been knowing him since I was like 15 or 16. And we were signed to him at a point, you know, did a deal with Interscope, HSN7. So I got really good with bro. So with us and creating music, it's seamless, but it's always. Still, which is dope. I love that. You know, I still like being, you know, a little homie in certain places because it allows me to learn and still grow and develop. And in music, you know, Hit Boy is, you know, he's constantly around the elite. He's been around the elite. So I take into consideration his input, and it's always dope. And I always get better and level up after working with him. So. It was fire. Creating Bad Dreams was fire. The rollout has been amazing. The whole response has just been crazy, you know, because it's just different. The tempo is different. The pocket, like how I'm rapping, is different. So I think it's kind of dope. The reception has been dope. And I'm just happy to this with my dog. And, you know, he was able to be a part of the album. Mm-hmm.
Issue, you also worked with Vince Staples. How long have you known him for?
Yeah, Vince Staples is my dog. That's my guy. I've been knowing Vince Staples since like 2014 or so. We did like both of our first big tour together, which was the Oxymoron tour, which is Schoolboy Q's tour.
Wow.
And it was Q, Isaiah Rashad, Vince Staples, and us. And we shared a tour bus with Vince. You know, so us getting to know each other, like us meeting each other and getting to know each other was us being on tour and sharing a bus together. And it was like, dope, you know, that was like, Vince is probably one of the realest and just funniest, like most down to earth, smartest people I've ever met, just in the industry. Mm-hmm. And he a real one, and that's my dog. And it was like nothing to send him to join. He didn't hesitate, you know, hopped right on it. And it was perfect. I knew he needed to be on it. Like, as soon as I made issues, I knew Vince had to be on it. You feel me? And so luckily, it all, the stars aligned and it worked out.
Being on Schoolboy Q's Oxymoron tour, how was that? Because that was, in my opinion, Schoolboy Q's best album, his biggest album. That's a certified classic. How was that experience? And was there anything that he told you? Did he give you an advice? Did he, does he like your music?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Q, by the way. Shout out to my dogs, man. A Mac, King, the whole squad, Zay Walk, TDE, Matt, all my dogs and my brothers. That definitely is a classic album. Oxymoron is incredible. That tour was insane. If I could, like, that's my dream tour. Like, it just to like tour like that every time. Q has an incredible fan base. Crowd surfed every night. Like, I was going nuts out there. It was insane. I can't, there was not no distinct advice like Q gave. It wasn't like anything like concrete or nothing versus just how he was moving in action. Like, you know, the advice came from how he was and just being dope and being real, like, receptive and showing us love. First off, if we wouldn't be on the tour if he didn't like our music. You know what I'm saying? So, in order, you feel me? In order for you to bring people into your world with your fans, that's different. That's trust. That's, you have to be rocking with a person's music, or they have to have had paid you a nice bag. And we definitely didn't do that. So, he definitely rocked with the music. And yeah, man, Q was amazing. That's the homie. They showed us hella love. I learned a lot about just crowd control and really just engaging your fans and building real fans up. Because, like, them dudes got real fans, lifetime, forever fans. So shout out to TDE, shout out to Q, shout out to them.
You're growing your own fan base right now. What do you love most about your fans?
What was that, one more time?
You're growing your own fan base right now. What do you love most about your fans?
I appreciate that. Yeah. The thing I love most about my fans is that they're like open, you know, they're like me, which I like, you know, that they're into truth and they want to hear real truth and real stories, like the real music lovers. And that's what I love. Like, I love how I'm building this team up brick by brick, this tribe up of color fans and color reps, you know, because they're falling in love with storytelling, with music, with Black history, you know, and I love that, you know, because all my fans aren't Black. Most of my fans aren't Black, you know what I mean? And so to know that is dope because they care and they, you know, they know what my stance is on certain things, you know, and but they still respect me and appreciate me and support me, which is how I am. You know, I got family members who do things and they like may live a lifestyle that I am not the biggest fan of, but I still do my best to, you know, show them love and support them. And yeah, so that's the thing I love about my fans. And I love that my fans are like, they troopers too. So they gonna crowd surf with me. They gonna do everything I'm with. You know, my fans are real troopers. So yeah, man, we gonna turn up. And we building up our female base too, our women base. We building up our women. The numbers is going up. My manager loves to tell me every other day how my numbers, my women streams are going up. So shout out to the queens that are jumping on board. I definitely, you know, got a message for my sisters and the women. So
I just want to,
I definitely don't want to have a tour full of guys.
I just want to ask a follow-up regarding the female fans out there. How do you think a rapper can really build up his female fan base? You look at rappers back in the day, such as Nas and Big L. They talked about real things in their lives, and maybe the females may not want to tune into it because it's too dark per se. What would you say is the way to really gain a female fan base as a rapper?
That's a great question, dude. I think back then, the way to build, and if you don't mind, I like to say women. I've been corrected a lot of times, so I like to just address them as women. I try my best to. Sometimes I say female, girl, things like that. But I think to build a women fan base, the best way back then, obviously, it wasn't hard back then, because the moment you got signed for real and you got like a real, girls thought Nas was cute. He didn't even have to do shit, but just have a nice haircut, be fresh, and rap all the shit he rapped about. But the fact that the only place you could see him was on TV, like, they naturally were fans and fell in love. You know, that was that world. But now in this age where we got the internet, you got unlimited access to people's lives, I think that the best way to gain a women fan base, is making music for women. And that doesn't necessarily mean, but making like slow songs or like R&B records or like, baby, I love you, you mean the world to me. Like, not necessarily that, versus like just talking about things that women can, you know, and just like talking about things, ways women can relate to them. Like, sometimes as men and rappers, we just be wanting to be so rappity rapping, just double double double, and we just want to cater to this, and the niggas doing this are like, and it's like, but as artists and rappers, it's our jobs to be clever and to be creative and to, you know, say it in ways to where a woman can get it, you know, or just do clever shit in the song. I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Sell me something natural, like ass with some stretch marks. You don't even have, that's not even a song about women, but you're just taking a moment to like cater to women, you know, and say something that women are going to be able to relate to. You know, so it's just, I think it's just being conscious of it and wanting to do it, you know. That's more so, I think, too. Like, you got some people who don't even care about that. They just making music they want to make. And if you rock it, you rock it. If you ain't, you ain't. You know what I mean? You know, I personally want to have a fan base, a nice balance of men and women, so that there is a balance, you know, so that I can be held accountable as an artist from my fans, you know, because your fans are your family. And they are the ones who are going to be letting you know, like, when you're off track and things like that. And I don't want to be just guided by no men in a gang of dudes, rappy rap ass dudes. Like, nah, man, I need to know what the women want, too. So I'm big on that. And, yeah.
Well said, man. Let me know everything else that you have coming up here that you want to mention here today on the show. You're on the move right now as you're in the car. I'm sure that you probably have some performances planned, maybe on the sneak because of COVID-19, or even some virtual performances, something going on. You're working.
Right. Yeah, man. I actually have a call with an agent after this, which is pretty dope. So I'm working out a few things on the show, on the performance side. My apologies. I had a call come in.
Oh, it's all good.
Things on the performance side, I do have, I think I'm doing this 420 little, just like I'm gonna do like a one song little pop in from my homie, My God Mars. And we are about to continue squeezing out all of this greatness in folds. We got more visuals dropping. We got the book dropping. We got some dope stuff in the works, man. I have like a pretty dope announcement that's going to be announced when it's announced, but it's definitely coming, and it's about to shake shit up. in a real scary way. I'm excited about it. And I'm just working, you know, working like crazy. Got the food truck. Brody Hunt is in the IE. Carrie's Barbecue and Soul Food Restaurant in the IE. City Recording Studios in the IE. Color Clothing, Color D&T. We coming for it all. The book series is on the way. Don't take the vaccine. Y'all drink water. Be blessed.
Oh, you heard the words from Price here today, man. I want to thank you for coming on the show here at WSJU St. John's University Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max. You know what it is. Price, I'd love to have you back on once you drop something new or even want the book series promoted on the show. I'll be promoting it if you want to come on for 15 minutes. We're more than happy to.
Hey, man, I'm rocking with you, man. Listen, everybody that's taking a risk and a shot at me right now in these early stages, I'm in debt to, like, you know, it does not go in vain. And I appreciate you, bro. And I'm here, you know what I'm saying? Let me know. You know, I could do some drops. That's the cool thing about iPhones and shit now. Voice memo is fire.
That's right.
So I can do a quick little drop or whatever you need, man. Let me know, bro. I'm here, man. And I appreciate you for the support, the constant, like, you taking time out on your platform to, you know, want to talk about my story and my album. That shit means the world to me, bro. And just keep on spreading the word, man. That's all I ask, bro.
Thank you already know, for sure. Keep doing great things. You're doing a great thing for hip hop. You're bringing back that MC, the storytelling, giving acknowledgement to the legends, giving legends their flowers, such as Big L and Nas. Big respect to that. Make sure you go support Foes, available on all platforms, free on Evan Street, Colored Entertainment. Go check it out. Follow Price on Instagram at The Price.
Man, Max, man.
Yep.
You're a real one, girl. Appreciate
you, King. Yep. Take care. Stay safe, man.